Congregation, at this time, I'll encourage you to open up again into the Gospel of Matthew. And this time, we're staying in Matthew 14. We will be looking at verses 13 through 21. Jesus here is feeding 5,000, at least 5,000. And we'll see that this morning, the reading of Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Hear now the word of God. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. As far the reading of God's holy and inspired word, let us take a moment and bow in reflection and prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this passage that many of us know quite well, and so we pray for wisdom and discernment as we walk through these words. We pray for ears that are attentive to hear what your Spirit has to say for your church. And we also pray that we would see and hear Jesus, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have entered into a passage that many of us from the earliest of childhood can recall being taught in Sunday school, being taught in vacation Bible school, or even at camps. This is the account that many can recall when they're asked, "Hey, what are some of the miracles of Jesus?" Many of the times they'll go to things like John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus turning water into wine. Water into water would be easy. Water into wine. Or they even go to two of them that we see here in this chapter. They say, well, he fed 5,000 men, or he walked on water. The 5,000 kind of eclipses the fact that at the end of this chapter, he's going to feed 4,000. And we're going to see that later. But notice that this is one of those miracles that many people go to: walking on water, feeding 5,000, turning water into wine. And so as we step into this passage, just keep in mind that the reputation of Christ is spreading. Where do we see that? Well, we saw that last week when we began chapter 14. Herod began to hear the report, the good news of the works of Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't take it as good news. He was terrified. Herod didn't understand who Jesus is. But he did not miss the fact that Jesus was doing signs and wonders, what we call miracles. And so as we step into this passage, we're going to uncover how Jesus Christ is better than the prophets of the Old Testament. We're going to see the necessity of this miracle of feeding the 5,000. We're going to see the reason there was only 12 baskets left over at the end of the meal. Only 12. No more, no less. And these are the answers that we're going to see in this passage as we walk through it. Keep in mind this summary statement. Jesus shows compassion upon the people by taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 5,000 with them. At least 5,000 with those loaves and fish. And so with this main point, we'll consider these two other factors here. First of all, in verses 13 and 15, we'll notice that even Jesus needed to take some time to mourn for family. Even he had to take some time. Then we'll consider the feeding of the 5,000. I want you to see the order there. As we begin to unpack that Jesus shows compassion upon the people by taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, feeding 5,000 men with them. We're going to first consider verses 13 and 15, noticing that even Jesus departed. Even Jesus needed to have some time to mourn for family, for his cousin John, his forerunner. Look at verses 13 through 15 again. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is the deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." As we break these verses down, break this passage down even further, we're going to find that while Jesus needed some alone time, he wasn't allowed to have time alone. He could not be left alone for some time. We're going to look at that in verses 13 and 14. Look at the beginning part of verse 13 again. Consider this slowly with me. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. See, Matthew gives to us one of those moments that points to the humanity of Jesus. We confess, as we've already done this morning, that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. Notice what is said here. He hears that John, his relation, their cousins, they're related, has been martyred for preaching the gospel. And Jesus leaves his current location to find a quiet place. He needed to mourn. He needed to grieve. Like Lazarus, Jesus would have wept for the death of one of his prophets. This is what he needed to do. And as Jesus was leaving, Matthew informs us there again in verse 13, but when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. These are those tragic moments of his life, those places where he wanted to be alone, he desired to be left alone, but God says, no, it's still time for you to minister to others. Jesus desired to be away, but his father had other plans. Plans to fulfill Scripture. You see, these multitudes heard that he was leaving, and so they did not care for his privacy, but began to follow him nonetheless for more miracles. See, the real question we wrestle with in a future sermon is, why did they follow him? What was the why? The quick answer is that one should not think that they were there to hear him speak more, hear him talk more, hear him preach. They didn't want to hear more of the word. Because notice what happens in the passage. They wanted to see more miraculous work. They wanted to see more healings. They wanted more, more, more. Not more of God's word. Now, while there seems to be this conflict between Jesus needing this moment to grieve, this moment to mourn, and these people needing to be ministered to, look at what Matthew says in verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Now, three things to see here, and then one point of application as it relates to the ministry in the church. First, we see that Jesus was going until he saw the great multitude. Look at that. We don't get the amount yet. We don't get the number yet. But we see that this congregation is what we would call today a mega church. That's this. That's the multitude. That's how many people were following him. And then secondly, Jesus was moved with compassion for them. Do not overlook that. Again, we see the sacrificial servant leadership of Jesus, sacrificing his time to mourn in order to serve. Jesus did not need mercy. He did not need grace at this moment. But notice this multitude, they needed his complete attention. And so he gives it. Jesus was there to suffer with them. come alongside them. Third, he healed their sick. He healed their sick. Prior to the great miracle that most of us remember growing up from children of this now, prior to that, we always skip over the fact that before this great fellowship kind of meal, there was a healing service that took place. One point of application here, as we recognize this. Many years ago now, I was beginning pastoral ministry, and in the RCS you have to have a time of mentorship where an older minister comes alongside you, and it just so happened that this guy sat right to the left every Sunday. So he was the retired pastor in the church that I was pastoring. And he asked me a question. What would you do if you were on vacation and you received the news that a member of your church had passed away? How would you respond, Pastor? It's not an easy question, so I thought for a while, and the answer was seen with this passage. The answer is vacation's over. Vacation is over. You see that here with Jesus. Even Jesus needed some time away. Jesus vacated himself to be away, to be alone. But the ministry called. And so he turned back. And he ministered. Vacation over. Yeah. Notice, while he was giving them the healing service, there was another necessity that was needed here. There was more that needed to be done. The passage doesn't end with this verse. There's a necessity to eat. Over 5,000 people, and he's healing a lot of them. It's taking quite a bit of the day. So look at verse 15. When it was evening. When it was evening, that means this has been going on all day. This service has been going on all day. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, but that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." Now, as we look over this verse, we must first understand that we're not told when Jesus began to heal the multitudes, but it was sometime in the morning. We are told when the disciples intervened. Evening. Sun was going down. And so during the evening, the disciples began to hear their hunger pangs and realized it was time to dismiss this crowd. On the one hand, they wanted to dismiss the crowd because, well, they were also hungry. While on the other hand, they were showing a real concern for this crowd. They needed to eat too. They needed to eat as well. It's like the little girl that Jesus heals, and one of the first things he tells them to do is get her some food. She needs to eat. All this healing's been going on. They need to eat too. So we see that food is necessary, isn't it? We see that here. They need to eat. There's the word for necessary. But we're going to find out this morning that Christ is in fact more important than their necessity to eat. See, there is the necessity to eat, but there is the necessity to feed upon the word of Jesus Christ all the more. This is what we are considering the word of Christ concerning the feeding of the 5,000. Considering the compassion Jesus showed towards their needs for health and food, nutrition, we see that now he shows compassion even for their hunger now. They need to eat. And Jesus feeds them with food. He provides for them. And this takes us now to verses 16 through 21. Jesus distributes the food through his disciples. Start at verse 16. But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. And gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, another way of saying that, and they were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So Jesus here shows great leadership and authority at this moment. He really kind of takes charge, doesn't he? And our first point showed that Jesus recognized their problems and he met their needs. He recognized the problem and he met the need. And then we'll see, secondly, that he meets yet again another need. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But let's figure out, let's look at verses 16 and 18. Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, that's the disciples, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." You see, with this back and forth, with this conversation, we find Jesus' impeccable compassion and the disciples' loss of possibilities. They don't understand what's about to happen. And so first of all, let's see that Jesus is contradicting the disciples. This is somewhat of a disagreement. The disciples want to see the people leave following a healing service, but Jesus desires to feed them. He wants to feed them. And so Jesus is getting ready to do something that will never be seen again. Nothing to this magnitude will ever be seen again. Yes, he will feed 4,000, but that's not 5,000 plus. That's only 4,000 plus. There's a difference. Secondly, the disciples, on the other hand, you see, they have no idea, truly no idea what's about to happen. Notice, though, they had food. They were ready to eat, but just like today, it's rude to eat in front of people and not offer them to have something. Now, that's still rude. It was rude then. It's still rude now. They have only 5 loaves of bread and only 2 pieces of fish. That was going to feed those 13, the disciples and Jesus. That was it. And so Jesus brings those pieces here. And we know the account. So remember, the disciples, again, had no idea of what was about to happen. And so let's take a moment and understand that if the disciples were thinking biblically, they would have been prepared for an Elisha type of moment. But Jesus will make the miracle that God did through Elisha look like child's play. And we're going to see that. Elisha fed only 100 men in 2 Kings 4, 12 through 42 through 44, while Jesus is about to feed 5,000 men. We'll consider this in more detail in just a moment. But first, let's see the rest of our passage. Look at verses 19 through 20a. "Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes, so they all ate and were filled," or satisfied. Before we go on to explain this passage, listen to the words that I just referenced a second ago in 2 Kings 4, 42 and 44. "Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, 'Give it to the people that they may eat.' But his servant said, 'What, shall I set this before 100 men? And he said again, 'Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over.' So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord." 2 Kings 4, 42 to 44. And looking over this, we see many comparisons, don't we? Many like comparisons, you know, things that you got on the one. First of all, you got people that are hungry. You got, second of all, you got the prophet desires to feed them. Third, his disciples don't see the miracle coming, right? Fourth, they give them the food that they have, this amount of food. Fifth, they ate until they were satisfied. And sixth, there was some food left over. Those are the comparisons between the two accounts. Then there are the areas that don't agree, that shows that Jesus is better, that Jesus is greater than Elisha. Here are the differences. Number one, Elisha fed only 100 men. Jesus fed 5,000 men. Two, Elisha had more food to share. Trust you noticed that. 20 loaves instead of 5. Number three, we're not sure how much was left over with Elisha. We know that some was left over. We're not sure how much. But Matthew is very specific, which we'll consider just a second. But notice there's 12 baskets of food. He's very specific. And what's important about these figures is the fact that Jesus is a better prophet, a better man of God. He's better than Elisha. Jesus is our chief prophet, teacher, provider. Jesus is our glorious provider. He not only gives to us our daily bread, but notice, he is the bread of life. That's who he is. And secondly, when Jesus provides for you, you will be satisfied. He does not give his people the bread of sorrow, but the bread of life. That's what Jesus offers. If you turn to the world and to their authorities for satisfaction, you will only find misery. You will only find the bread of sorrow. But Christian, when you turn to Jesus, you will be filled. You will find satisfaction. Look at the rest of our passage. The rest of 20 and verse 21. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Looking over these verses, we must pay close attention to three facts that we see here. First, look at how many baskets of food were left over. Now, there are 12 baskets, and I've heard several points of view as to what this passage means. And I think there are really, at the end of the day, is only two possibilities that a person can understand with these verses. But I think really there's only one proper interpretation. The two possibilities in one, and out of one of those is one. And so let's look at these. First of all, we're asking, why is there 12 baskets left over? Why 12? Why no more? Why no less? Why a specific number? And let's understand that the number 12 does have meaning behind it. It was not just a coincidence. One view sees that the 12 baskets were for the 12 disciples, speaking a visual message to them that Jesus will provide for them. They piggyback that with the next passage, which deals with Jesus walking on water and the fear of the disciples that Jesus is going to provide for them. Well, that's well and good. And that's very true. There were 12 disciples, and there were 12 baskets left over. Very, very easy math there. Very, very simple. Very easy to understand that. That fails to see a greater meaning in the context of Matthew 14. In Matthew 14. We have to pay attention to the exact place Jesus is ministering at this moment. We find Jesus where? In the promised land, among the people of promise, the people of God, where they were to live, but they failed to trust in God to be their daily bread. So what did they do? They looked to outside sources. They looked to other people. They looked to other nations, false, useless idols to provide for them. And what does God do? He removes them from the land that flows with milk and honey. He removes them. And with this miracle, Jesus is revealing himself as the one who will always provide for his people Israel in the land. He will always provide. This view is seen clearly when Jesus, in the same chapter, goes to a foreign land, a land called the Decapolis, a land of the 10 cities, a land where actually the Jewish people at this time believed was the land of the seven, looking back to the seven nations that Israel failed to kick out of the promised land. They said this was where they dwelled. And look, if you look there, Jesus feeds 4,000, and how many baskets are left over there? Not 12. There were 12 disciples, but why not 12 baskets? Because the numbers have meaning. Seven baskets are left over there in the land of the Gentiles, in the land of the seven. Not the land of the 12, but the land of the seven. You see, what we see in the whole context of Matthew 14 is the fact that Jesus provides for all his people, not just Jewish people, not just that nation that was supposed to be called Israel, but all people, Gentile, Jew alike. That's what Jesus does. Jesus is the Almighty Provider. Two more facts. The second fact that we see here is that there were 5,000 men. They counted the men. Now, many have understood this to be speaking of male headship. That's to miss the point. That's not what this is dealing with at all. This is not dealing with male headship. This is a reference Matthew is making to point us back to 2 Kings 4, where even there they counted only the men because that's all who were present. Matthew is pointing out this is a better miracle than Elisha. Better than Elisha. And then the third fact is that the crowd was more than 5,000. More. It was at least 5,000. Because it doesn't, he says it. And there were women and children present. And they ate. And they were all satisfied. Jesus doesn't just provide for one gender, one sex. He provides for all men, women, and children. He is our Almighty Provider. You see, in closing, we must see these two things. First, we must see that many people fail to see this as a miracle. It is true. They say, well, how do they get away from understanding this to be a miracle? I mean, they look at this. Oh, this is the nature, this is the ridiculous nature of unbelief. They said Jesus did not feed them. They claimed that others brought food too, and they simply shared all their lunches. That's not what the passage says. You miss the big picture. You see, the big picture that this passage points us is we must see this in closing. And I've said it several times. See, while Jesus needed to be away, ministry still needed to happen. He shows compassion on them, and he provides. Not only did he provide the first thing, that healing service, he provided for them health. But then secondly, he provided food. And he still does this today. He provides food for us Christians in three ways. First of all, he gives you daily bread. Now think about that. This is that work you have throughout the week where you're physically working. And if it was not for Jesus Christ, there would not be food on the table. And he provides work. He provides food. Yeah, and it may be food that only lasts for a few minutes on the dinner table. It still is food nonetheless. He also provides, that's food for your body, food for your health. He then provides food for your soul with his daily word. This is the Bible. This is why it's important. Whether you're just looking at one verse because you have a hungry infant always in your arms, always needing attention, or if you have a toddler that keeps on just tugging at you all the time throughout the day, or if your workload is that busy and that stressful. Today, we really have no excuse not to be in the Word when we can pull it up on our phone. This is that daily bread that Jesus provides to us through his Word. To be in it, whether it's one verse or it's an entire book, he provides his Word for our souls each and every day. And then third, the last provision that Jesus has given, as we have already read about with Isaiah 53, we saw in our Heidelberg Catechism reading this morning, and we see even here, Jesus is the manna from heaven. He, the only begotten Son, is the bread of life. He has provided himself for us. and turning to Him, feeding upon Him, you will be satisfied. You will need to look to no other. You will find it in no other. The world offers many different false messiahs, many different man-made idols that promise you good health and wealth and satisfaction. But that, brothers and sisters, is the bread of sorrow. It is like that meal that you provide that is gone in 5 minutes. The bread Jesus gives is eternal. It is bread that will satisfy you forever. And He has fed more than 5,000 with that bread. All His people. Feed on that eternally. That's where our hope is. And may we continue to trust in our Savior. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank You that in Christ we have been nourished, we have been fed, we have all that we need for both body and soul in this life and in death. That we know He will continue. Whether it is even in ill health or in good health, whether it is in riches or poverty, whether it's in famine, disease, or plentiful, we know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, will provide for us. He knows exactly what we need. And so we thank You for our daily bread, both of food, of the Word, and of our Savior Jesus, His mercies being fresh every day. And we're reminded of that every time we pray, as our Lord taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever. Amen.